from the Gateway to the West. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, here's a story out of England. Heart drugs designed to lower cholesterol levels should soon be available over the counter. The government is expected to announce that drugs called statins will be made more widely available. Maybe it'll happen here. They are currently only available on prescription, but the government wants to give everyone there a greater choice over their own health. Statins are prescribed to around 1.8 million people in England. They are believed to save up to about 7,000 lives a year there. They say it should be available over-the-counter this summer. Pharmacists will have to question customers there on their health to ensure that the drug is appropriate. Those who already have the drugs prescribed by their doctor will continue to receive them on prescription. This hour and tonight on Coast to Coast, we're going to be talking about alternative medicine, ways that people around this world now are trying to heal themselves. Our guest, Dr. Robin Falkov, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Robin Falkov is licensed acupuncture physician with extensive training in traditional Chinese herbal medicine. She is a diplomate of the National Board of Homeopathic Examiners and has worked with homeopathy for over 20 years. She has had one of the earliest wholesale accounts with the well-known Pioneering Life Extension Foundation in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, has worked with nutritional supplements for more than 25 years, and currently resides in New Mexico and consults with patients by telephone and over the internet. Tonight, alternative health and medicine on Coast to Coast AM. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Good, George. Good evening. It's wonderful to be doing your show. I really want to thank you for the opportunity to bring the Codex Commission problem and alternative health issues to your audience.
You know, so many people over the years have been looking, Robin, for different ways to solve some of their own medical problems, and they have really been just scrambling, trying to get help, trying to put everything together. You and, of course, many others like you who have looked toward other kinds of medicine, and that's not to take anything away from true physicians, MD types, and some of the remedies and prescriptions. But I really believe, and I think you do too, that the body is a tremendous machine and has a way to heal itself if you just give it a little help, isn't it?
That's very well put, George. And the problem is most of the treatments that are available in Western medicine tend to overwhelm the body instead of support it.
You and I have a special friend, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Why don't you tell us who that person may be?
Well,
door number one, two, or three?
That's one of the very special guests on your show, Richard C. Hoagland.
That's right, Richard C. Hoagland, and you are Richard's significant other, or I should say that he is your significant other. How long have you two known each other?
For 5 years.
And you, I think, and if I'm saying anything that's wrong, you just tell me. You probably
Certainly.
Will. I think
yes.
You saved his life, didn't you?
Well, Richard called me when he was having the beginning of his heart attack, and I called the paramedics and drove down to the motel where he was and got there when the ambulance arrived and went with him to the hospital, to the emergency room, and to when he was admitted, because it's very important that you do not leave someone alone at a time like that. And the mistakes that can happen are numerous. I'm sure everyone has heard horror stories of, you know, wrong medication giving wrong,
mm-hmm.
all these different horrors that can happen. And if they had a hyperbaric oxygen chamber in the emergency room at that hospital, the extensive damage to Richard's heart would have been stopped. I mean, that would have been turned around. The bruising, the blackening, all of this damage that I was told by his physicians was probably irreparable, would have been stopped.
Now, Robin, if memory serves me, wasn't he in Miami at the time?
With the Miami Circle. We were working
exactly
together on that.
Exactly. I remember him being interviewed by Art, talking about the Circle, and it was an exciting project, and he was trying to muster support to save that area. And then all of a sudden this happened, I guess, right?
Yes, and what preceded this was very, very strange, because I would pick Richard up, and he and I and a group of other people were very active with all of the events about the Circle, trying to have meetings with the different commissioners and just waking up the public that this is a very important site that needed to be saved. Well, about 3 days before Richard's heart attack, there were suddenly these strange guys in the room next to him, and when I would drive over to pick him up, they would be sort of hostile and aggressive, sitting in front of the room, which is unusual. You don't see something like that. And it was just very strange and made me wonder, made Richard wonder, because he saw their behavior as well, what's going on all of a sudden? And then, of course, you know, just a few days afterwards, he had the heart attack. Now, did you know that on the same day that Richard had his heart attack, so did Stanley Kubrick?
I didn't know it was the same day.
Yeah, the same day.
In Kubrick's case, then, did he die when he had his heart attack at that time?
Yes, Kubrick died.
Okay, so that was right before he was not able to finish that strange movie that I cite so much, Robin, Eyes Wide Shut.
Yes. Now, he wasn't, and I believe that was 666 days after 2001. So it's just more bizarre stuff.
I wonder why.
Yeah, so do I.
Well, let's go back a little bit and talk about you for a moment. How did you get involved in traditional Chinese herbal medicine? I mean, what sparked your interest?
Okay, my first experience was not with the Chinese herbal medicine and acupuncture. It was with homeopathy through friends that were kind enough to give me a homeopathic remedy when I had, just simple, basic head cold symptoms that didn't clear. And what happened was the symptoms just were not there. I wasn't tired. I didn't have dry mouth. You know, none of the effects that you have with the over-the-counter medications.
Right.
That stimulated my interest, and I decided to learn more, and ultimately, part of the circle of friends had one of the oldest acupuncture schools in South Florida. I mean, they still do. And I went there so that I would be licensed for Chinese medicine, homeopathy, and nutritional counseling.
Now, acupuncture has always fascinated me because just the fact that the results. But why or how could small needles stuck in your body in various pressure points, how can that solve medical conditions on people?
Okay, it's quite amazing. It was an enormous experience for me observing my patients that I was treating in clinic and seeing the results and how quickly they got better. And what you have, they're not pressure points. You have acupuncture points throughout the body, and they have their dedicated pathways, as an example. And you have them for different organ systems of the body that we would recognize but are not equal in Western medicine. And then there are some that don't really have a parallel. So what the basic idea of Chinese medicine is, that it's that you have a stagnation, and the stagnation creates a blockage. That blockage impedes the flow of energy. Just like with our circulatory system, when there's an infection and you have to have the blood rush to the area to bring the nutrition and the white blood cells and everything that can fight the damage, the acupuncture needles will stimulate energetically these pathways and create an opening and a smooth flow of that energy through the body.
My first experience with acupuncture, Robin, I saw a vet, a horse vet, performing acupuncture on the legs of a racehorse.
Mm-hmm.
And on the hip of a racehorse.
Yes.
And a friend of mine owned this horse, and he said, you've got to see this. And, you know, the horse won the race, and apparently, you know, they didn't want to give it drugs or anything like that. They wanted it to happen as naturally as they could. And this doctor was very proficient in acupuncture for animals, for horses, and that's what he would do. And it was amazing to watch what they did. They kind of like tap the needle into the body. And they just stick there. Doesn't that hurt? Why are you laughing?
It can hurt. The interesting thing, when you look at most acupuncture needles that are used in the West, in China they have a thicker gauge, but in the West we use a finer gauge needle, and most of those needles could be dropped through a syringe that you receive an injection with.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an instrument that has a beveled edge. It's not anything, you know, that's going to catch on the little tissues and nerve fibers. So it kind of pushes them away, and you might feel pain, but you are not supposed to feel pain. So the important thing when you're receiving an acupuncture treatment, or whenever you're working with any healthcare practitioner, is feedback, because that slight discomfort initially should be adjusted and should diminish. It should not last.
Now, you are not a medical doctor, right?
No, I am not.
Okay. What I find fascinating about what you do is some medical doctors are beginning to study and practice the very kinds of alternative medicine that you've been doing all your life.
Yes, and there's a very good reason why that has taken place. There has been an enormous loss of revenue to Western medicine because of the success of many alternative therapies. There is one problem, or let me make an example, and you can tell me what you think. Western medical doctors receive weekend training courses in acupuncture. Can mm-hmm. be a total of 100 hours, and then they are able to treat patients with acupuncture. I completed a 4-year program, and I can't stress the importance of that, because the whole concept of Chinese medicine is totally different from what we are accustomed to. So with that parallel, were I to take some weekend courses equaling 100 hours, would you feel comfortable having me do surgery on you?
No.
Okay.
So that, well, I guess that explains it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some things that seem quite obvious when you look at them as they are.
There's no question that, you know, the preference would be that you do not ingest anything in terms of pharmaceuticals into your system. But be that as it may, there are some pharmaceuticals out there that I'm sure help your body. Let's say blood pressure pills, for example. Though it would be great if everybody would get off blood pressure pills and get their blood pressure down naturally, the fact is that some people don't or can't. It's important that they continue to take your medicine, right?
Oh, I agree with you.
You're not saying, yeah, you're not saying stop taking your medicine.
No, definitely not. And high blood pressure is such an insidious disease that does such extensive damage that you do not discontinue your medicine. If you're receiving alternative treatment, you maintain your levels and you keep checking. And then with the combined consultation between your Western MD and your other practitioner, that would be the only time at all when you would try to cut back on medication if it was agreed upon.
Can you build up your immune function in your body? We've got a client, for example, that has a product that helps build up your immune function. Is it possible to build up your immune function in your body where it can fight off most diseases by itself?
Sure, theoretically it is, but it's not just one product. It's lifestyle. And lifestyle, environment are such important factors. When I prepare to do a consultation with a patient, I require a very extensive medical history that they provide, and then I get medical records from their physician. part of their medical history has to include their lifestyle, down to the personal care products, down to what their hobbies are, the environment where they live, what kind of work they do, because you need to know what you are being exposed to. If you have a hobby and you're refinishing furniture, those chemicals are highly toxic and can be stored in the liver and create problems. If someone is working in a factory, they could be bringing home some of the toxic or heavy metals that they could be exposed to and expose their family in turn. There are so many things that need to be considered. What you're living next door to, is your home built on, you know, waste fill? It's quite an extensive list for consideration.
And I've also been really a champion of the kind of water we all drink, for example. That could be another problem, huh?
Definitely. People that have compromised immune systems have to be very careful about drinking public water. There could be cryptosporidium contamination. There could be other types of bacteria that someone who has a compromised immune system would be susceptible, where you or I might not have a problem.
How does this country fare, Robin, compared to other countries in terms of its population taking care of itself?
Gosh, that's a tough question. I mean, one of the big problems that we have in this country is obesity. How do we compare to other countries?
I mean, do we work out more? Do we exercise on a regular basis? Do we watch what we eat, even though you say obesity is prevalent? I mean, do we eat better than, let's say, other countries
or not? I think we eat way too much compared to other countries. You have a portion of our population that is very conscientious and exercises and watches their diet, and then you have a large percentage that has to struggle with getting through every day and doesn't have the luxury of time to focus on those things. An interesting supposed contradiction would be looking at what was the typical French diet, heavy in fat and meats and rich food, mm-hmm. and yet their incidence of heart disease is quite low.
And why would that be? You would think that they'd have a high incidence of heart disease.
Well, some people attribute it to the small portions, the balance, the freshness of the food. There's an awful lot that we have lost with everything being prepackaged and all of the different convenience foods that have so many chemicals and preservatives and denatured food. You cannot get adequate nutrition from what you go and buy in the supermarket.
How bad is sugar in this country? How prevalent is that?
Oh, very bad, very high. I don't have those numbers for you, but they're kind of mind-boggling.
It's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, when you look up how many pounds of sugar per person, it just makes you cringe. And for everyone who's vain and you realize what sugar does to your collagen fibers and, you know, creating much more damage and increasing the aging process visually, it would be a very motivating thing to stop eating sugar.
Remember that song, Sugar in the Morning, Sugar in the Evening?
Yes.
Sugar at supper time? It's so true.
Definitely.
It really is.
What people need to know is that there are wonderful substitutes for sugar. You have stevia, which is a plant, a South American plant, which Home Depot is even selling now. You can buy the powdered form of stevia. You can buy liquid forms. You can buy Lohan, xylitol. There are so many substitutes, and yet the majority of the advertising is about aspartame because Monsanto produces aspartame, and that's
right.
A very big market.
There is a commission that we'll talk about when we come right back called the Codex Commission. Tell us a little bit about what that is all about. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Reserve your free CD of Art Bell and Malachi Martin when you subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. With George Norrie.
Well, listen to this. According to the USDA, the average American eats about 135 pounds of sugar a year. 135 pounds of sugar a year. That's a lot. It really is. We're going to continue talking about alternative medicine and your health right here on Coast to Coast AM. First, let me tell you about the After Dark newsletter. June 18th, last day that you can get the free CD, Art Bell's interview with the late Father Malachi Martin. Call this number, 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online, coasttocoastam.com, but that's the end date, June 18th. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest tonight, Dr. Robin Falkov. Website, of course, linked up with coasttocoastam.com. Robin, you want to give out the names of your website or websites?
Okay, my website is healthfreedomrights.com. And that's the one website that I have. And the main page has a very thorough explanation of what we are facing with the whole codex situation.
HealthFreedomRights.com. For a moment, I thought you were going to say EnterpriseMission.com.
That's on the bottom. There's a link there.
There is a link. Now, the Codex Commission. Tell me, what is that?
Okay, that's the Codex. The United Nations Codex Alimentarius Commission. This becomes a whole world of letters and acronyms, and it's mind-boggling for Americans to consider what has happened in the world and why the United States is so vulnerable. What the Codex Commission is intending to regulate is the way foods and supplements are marketed, and supposedly this is for the health and well-being of everyone. This seems to translate instead into what will be the most profit, because it is the major pharmaceutical companies that have the most input to how these regulations are formulated.
Oh, here we go again, right?
Yeah, here we go again. And I caught part of your show with David Icke.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, learning about the European Union and just how far-reaching all of their laws are, I mean, it is mind-boggling.
Tentacles go everywhere, Robin.
Yes, and I don't think people in the United States realize that because of the agreements with the World Trade Organization, we are subject to these courts that are in Brussels. We have signed agreements, and that has made the United States one vote in a group of 25 other countries.
Well, if they were successful in getting natural supplements off the market, or at least most of them, number one, that's a lot of money that then would flow to these major pharmaceutical companies that want to continue developing their own things, and that's pretty darn dangerous. I mean, is this a real possibility?
Well, it's a real possibility, but what they are attempting to do is lower the amount, milligram-wise, of what will be available, and to replace natural supplements like the mixed tocopherol form of vitamin E with the synthetic, which is not the biological equivalent. So ultimately, when they reduce the milligram amount, and let's say you're now no longer able to buy vitamin C in 500 milligrams, the highest legal, and I mean legal, amount that will be sold will be 200 milligrams. What this does for the companies that are manufacturing these products is it will increase their sales enormously, because people that have been taking these supplements regularly will have to buy more product at higher prices.
And, you know, instead of taking one, you'll take two, right?
Right. You take two, and you might have to take three.
Well, now, these companies that are doing this, are you saying that they're the ones that are already manufacturing these supplements? So what they want to do is they want some regulations on their own products?
Well, no, they're not exactly the ones that are already manufacturing. There are some of the main ingredients. Your big pharmaceutical companies manufacture those and then sell to the small companies. So they are in a win-win situation, whichever way it goes. They still have their market. What's happening is that a lot of these smaller companies that are creating innovative products and formulas, they will no longer have access to some of the components because they get them. Is that, am I getting that across?
You're getting that across.
Okay.
So in a roundabout political way,
yes,
they're going to take advantage of us.
Well, yes, they are. And so far there are small businesses in Europe that have been swallowed up by these large chains. It's mind-boggling to consider what happened in Australia 2 years ago when they had the whole SARS outbreak. There was a wide-scale attack, that's the only word to call it, on the health food industry, where I think over 1,000 supplements were removed from the marketplace.
Well, and here's an example. The story that I read right before you came on, Robin, had to do with what's going on in England with regards to prescription statins, which are cholesterol-lower pills. And now what they want to do, and apparently by this summer, they want to make it available without a prescription to anybody who can go into a drugstore and tell them, hey, you know, I want to lower my cholesterol. Here they are. So once again, the winners in England will be the pharmaceutical companies that manufacture these pills, because where before, when you'd have to go to a doctor and get a prescription, and maybe 20% of the population does that, all of a sudden, when you think it's as available as a vitamin, let's say, without a prescription, I bet the sales of these drugs will jump up tremendously.
You've given a perfect example, George. And when you have something like cholesterol that has been targeted to be this big evil, this is a whole inaccurate idea that has been perpetuated. What people have to pay attention to is their homocysteine levels, C-reactive protein, which measures inflammation. Your cholesterol number by itself is not an indicator. You have a lipid ratio of high-density lipoproteins to low-density lipoproteins, and if that ratio is imbalanced and you have a high number, there's no significance to that elevated number.
So if you have 250, 300, it may not be as bad as it looks.
That's correct. You have to do further testing, and the problem is many insurance companies will not approve and pay for these additional tests.
Interesting. Now, would you prefer, though, that a person had cholesterol readings of 150, 200, generally?
No, because that's not enough information. You need the other diagnostic information to base your treatment upon, to evaluate their health, because that number by itself is not giving you adequate information.
All right. Now, this commission that is pushing its way through, where you said the United Nations first or the European Union?
Well, it originated with the United Nations, and now that the European Union has organized the 25 countries and has decreed what their laws are, this is how it will affect us. And I'm trying to go over some of this information here because it is so technical.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing is reading this on my website.
Well, yeah, make it easy for us to understand.
Okay, to make it easy is that because of what has happened with our trade agreements, what they are trying to do is that what happens with the rest of Europe will affect us. There are companies that are marketing to consumers in Europe, and you have four countries there, England, Ireland, Holland, and Sweden, that are trying to preserve some degree of greater access for their citizens. And what they are trying to do is, with their vote and with the greater numbers of the 21 to the 4, is that they will then have regulations with this food service directive. It becomes a whole bunch of alphabet soup that will allow them to increase their market share throughout the rest of Europe, which is those 21 other countries, if then the four countries have their access cut back. So the other countries had very small access to begin with. They have gone along with the regulations and did not fight it. So it seems as if there is a benefit, but it really isn't.
Now, at what point does this trickle over to the United States?
Oh, gosh. Well, this could trickle over in November of this year when there's a meeting held in Bonn. I had just spoken with Rob Verkirk of the Alliance for Natural Health, and it is his organization that is mounting the battle to overturn these FSD directives in the European High Court. They've hired one of the only law firms that has overturned one of these directives, and the case has moved up the ladder to a higher court.
Not only do we have to worry, though, Robin, about this one world government that is out there trying to take advantage of everything, they want everything, don't they? I mean, now they want to control your own health and what you can do to try to better yourself.
It becomes a very insidious agenda, and nobody wants to go there, and nobody wants to believe that people will be kept ill. You don't have the nutrition in your food, you don't have the access to your supplements, you have medications that are given that are toxic.
Population control, isn't it? That's what they want. They want to be able to wipe out the population.
George, it sounds bizarre, and I feel totally insane saying it, but I agree with you. I mean, we live in a world gone mad.
You know, I have heard, I mean, we got 6 billion people, doctor, on this planet, and I have heard that the globalists, those who really are in the power mix, would love to have 500 million people on this planet. Of course, they would all be part of the 500 million, and they'd be very happy with that number. What a better way to do it than to continue to create disease, to, you know, minimize your ability, my ability, to be able to fight off disease in our own way by then controlling this. It's almost criminal.
Yes, it is. And what's even more frightening is reading a report about the increase in tick-borne diseases, not just Lyme, but there's other babesiosis, ehrlichiosis, other diseases that are showing up now throughout the United States, where people are having multiple infections. And the article that I just read talks about one physician that had an innovative therapy, which I don't even want to talk about because these people are subjected to witch hunts. If they can't be shut down, they will be harassed by the IRS. And there's something that this person is using that has had incredible results.
Well, I'll tell you what, the mere fact that this has been going on in a very quiet way, because not a lot of people, Robin, know about this, tells me that there's a lot to it.
Yes. I have been trying for 8 years to talk to people, and the, oh my gosh, the majority just does not believe that it can happen here. I didn't understand about media blackouts on news until after I tried calling every major news station, every TV show. I had gathered petitions, made forms up for schools to hand out to parents when I first learned about the whole threat of the Codex Commission from John Hamill, who has the International Advocates for Health. And there was no response. There was no interest. It was frightening.
Well, and you've seen the efforts of your other half and what he's got to be able to do to get around some very skeptical media people.
Definitely.
It's out there.
Definitely. And yeah. Before being with Richard, I had seen the attacks on John Hamill for what he was doing, the way his reputation was trashed. An associate of his had her home burned. Her animals were killed in the fire. I mean, there's an awful lot of ugliness out there.
Perhaps next hour, Robin, what are the chances of Richard C. to talk about the episode that occurred and you basically saving his life? You think he'd be in a position to want to do that with us?
If you would like that, I can ask him.
We can do that.
Okay.
And, we'll do that next hour for a bit. But tell him we will have no talking of NASA in this show today.
Definitely.
This one is all on our own health, but yeah, we'd like to do that.
And, oh, great. Okay.
Get that firsthand and really to go through the procedure that you went through. Now, you talked about an oxygen chamber that had that been available, he would have been way better off. Tell me about that.
Definitely. Well, what the hyperbaric oxygen chamber does is at pressure, it helps oxygenate the body. The concern of Richard's physician was the damage to his heart muscle, that it appeared blackened because of the obstruction of the blood flow, so that the tissue they thought might have died off.
Did they talk about a percent of the damage? You know, if a heart functions at what, like 80%? I think that was a number they always used, that if you got 80%, your heart was doing very, very well. It's not like you had to have 100% going. Did they talk a percent on what he had left or capable after this attack?
They talked about the ejection fraction. That's the force with which the heart can pump blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his was in the 20s.
But
what they had told me, which I only recently told him, as he can tell you, is that they gave him maybe a 50-50 chance. So I just wanted them to tell me what they saw, what the information is that they got from all the tests, and then I could go about finding what would help.
I remember even Art, who's opposed to mass consciousness and mass prayer because of its unpredictability, if memory serves me right, I also think he channeled the Coast to Coast listeners in mass to
Definitely.
Try to help Richard. I do remember that because I was one of them too. And
thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, something worked for him in addition to some of the many things that you were able to do. You believe then, though, that a good regimen of natural with the great minds of medicine, you put those together. Do you have a winning combination there?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there is nothing that compares with Western medicine for its diagnostic value. And when you have someone in an emergency medical situation, you have to have Western medicine. It's just some of the other areas where we have to learn to work together and be a bit more flexible.
What's so amazing is that ancient medicine from Asia knew
thank
about
you.
Many of these techniques a long time ago, didn't they?
Yes, thank you. Yes, because you have Chinese medicine that goes back over 3,000 years, and you have Western medicine that talks about it as being barbaric. You have herbal formulas that were written in the Yellow Emperor's book going back 2,000 years ago, and some of the herbal formulas that are in use today are still based upon those original formulas. And the beauty of those formulas is that it's not one single ingredient. You have multiple ingredients that moderate and mediate the effects of all that combination, and they are not harmful to the body. It's a much gentler way.
I think so too. Well, go get Richard ready. Pull him away from his CC
computer.
Radio Plus computer and his pillow speaker or whatever he's doing there, and get ready to have him relate exactly what happened to him a long time ago. And we'll be back with you, Dr. Robin Volkoff. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment with her and a little bit of Richard C. Hoagland on Coast to Coast AM.
Sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com. And you can hear tonight's show over and over and over.